So I don't know about you guys. I'm feeling a little mellow tonight. What about you? You mellow? You chill? Excited? Anything? No? Adam's like, yeah, man. But no, you're not mellow. No, I stepped on something. I'm killing time till the slide pops up, that, in case you guys are wondering. No. But thanks for coming tonight, guys. I'm so excited that you're all here tonight. I went from mellow to excited, and I hope you guys get excited, too. There we go. Thank you, Luke. Tonight, it's going to be super exciting because we're starting a new series here at Cedar Creek. Friday mornings and Friday nights and Sunday mornings, we're starting a new series calling it the Everyday Value Menu. Real quick, when I first heard this series pitched, I immediately thought of the McDonald's dollar menu, and I was sadly wrong. So we will not be dishing out coupons or anything for double cheeseburgers that I've been eating too much of lately. But what we're going to be doing with this series, actually, is looking at Christianity in the everyday life. And I think the reason why, I have to confess, I wasn't actually at the meeting when we decided to come up with these teaching topics, but from what I understand is that the reason why we have this series coming up is because oftentimes with Christians, we'll think the best way to live for God, the best way to let the Spirit lead, is to do something drastic, something extreme, something radical, dude. You know, that can come in different forms. You know, maybe God is asking you to drop everything, start a worship band. Maybe God is asking you to pick up your family and move to Liberia for 9 months of the year. Maybe God is asking you to just go on long-term mission trips. And that's right, that's good. That's what you are supposed to be doing because the Spirit is leading you. But what ends up happening is that some Christians can look at that and say, geez, I'm not going on long-term missions. Is there something wrong with me? I'm not dropping everything and learning the guitar so I can get involved in the worship band. Am I doing something wrong? You know, I'm just married with a kid or two. You know, I got a mortgage. I got bills to pay. I work 40 hours a week. I can't just leave my job and go do something. Well, that's good too, because I think God is leading you in that area as well. Basically, what we want to look at with this series is that living the everyday, day-to-day, the miraculous monotony of life is radical in of itself when you have Christ. Living the day-to-day, waking up, going to school, going to work, paying your bills, is all part of God's plan. And that's what we're going to look at with this. When you take life and you put God into the mix, that itself makes your life radical. That itself makes it extreme. So here's what we're going to do with this series. Think about your day. Think about your life. Think about the miraculous monotony. Monotony can be a very good word, by the way. As we go through the series, and think about all these different aspects that apply to you. Now, what we're doing tonight is talking about marriage. Yeah, I was waiting for that. We're talking about marriage tonight. And I understand that it's not like work, money, or daily rhythm. Parenting and marriage specifically apply, I understand, to a very specific group of people. I get that. That makes sense. But what I want to do is start with a survey here. By show of hands, and be honest, by show of hands, how many of you are not married as of tonight? Show of hands. Okay, thank you for the honesty. Now, of those of you who are not married, be honest, I'm asking you to be honest, how many of you were planning on ignoring me tonight? Oh, praise God, I was really nervous about that. Okay, so none of you are going to ignore me. That's wonderful because I got a lot to say and hope you're excited about it. By the way, we misspelled rhythm, so I put an H in there.
It's still wrong.
It is. Rhythm. Uh-oh. You know what? We'll talk about it later. This, for those of you who are listening to the teaching, Luke just put an N at the end of rhythm. He's very good with the computer. He's out for it, yeah. So here's what we're going to do tonight. You can go to the next slide, Luke. We're going to talk about the everyday value of marriage. I guarantee you, wherever you are in life, whatever step, whatever phase you're in, no, it should be the EVM marriage, Luke. Whatever step you're in, single, married, maybe beyond that, I can guarantee you that you're going to be able to get something out of this. And I know that because the Spirit is leading. And I know that because God is here with us. And if you just listen to God, he's going to tell you something. I don't know what it's going to be because I don't know where you are in life. I don't know. Thank you, Luke. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know if you're married. I don't know if you're single. Well, I know if you're single now, you just raised your hand. But God is going to be able to speak to you in some way, shape, or form. And I made the mistake when I was single, when Brianna and I were just dating, I made the mistake of ignoring a lot of teachings like this. But once we got engaged, I started paying more attention. So I guarantee you guys, if you just let the Spirit lead, just keep a calm heart, I'm sure you'll get something out of this. Okay, so the everyday value of marriage. We got to look at it in this light. Living an everyday marriage with Christ is living, and I'm talking specifically with Christ, is living a radical marriage. Living a marriage with Christ is a radical marriage. Not because extreme things happen in your house. Not because you're praying so hard the roof comes off. Not because there's worship music in the background all the time. Not because you fill your wall with Bible verses and doves and stuff. It's radical because Jesus is involved. It's radical because when Jesus is involved, your marriage is different from the world's marriage. The way you operate, the way you talk, the way you function, the way you handle problems is different. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk about marriage being radical because it has Jesus, because it's a miraculous monotony. We're going to talk about what is a radical marriage. There's three questions here. What is a radical marriage? Next, we're going to talk about, basically we're just going to read some scripture and we're just going to see what God says, what is marriage, what is biblical marriage. The next thing we're going to look at is, well, what does a radical marriage look like? And that one, actually, I hope you guys are excited. I'm going to be giving a lot of personal examples of what goes on in our household, Brianna and I. I have a lot of examples buzzing through my head and I'm trying to choose which ones to embarrass my wife with and which one not to. So that whole point will just be me giving examples. And the last part is going to be, well, what happens with a radical marriage? You know, what happens when you're living this Christ-like marriage? What's the result of it? So, with these points in mind, let me pray. I'm going to say some very black and white things, I believe, and I'm going to say a lot of things that probably you can't relate to, or maybe you will relate to. But I'm just going to pray that the Spirit leads us, because this topic is different from money and from work, from a daily rhythm, or anything else that we can all relate to. I know some of us are better able to relate to this than others. So let me just pray for an open heart, for a settled mind, and for God to speak. Lord, this is a very specific topic. This is a very specific aspect, a very specific teaching. And I just pray, wherever we're at, single or married, God, whatever stage of life, whatever place we're in, I just pray that you would speak to us about something. Maybe if we're single and you have it destined for us to be married someday, I pray that you would help us to pay attention to this so we can know what to look forward to, God. You know, if we are married, I pray that you would help us to take these actions, these ideas, these examples, blueprints, and use it in our marriages, God. But above all, I pray that we can see the value of it, the everyday monotony, just the simple things we do throughout the day, God. I pray that we can see the miraculous glory and how it's advancing the kingdom, Lord, and just living our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. With that in mind, what is a radical marriage? Well, a radical marriage is found in Ephesians 5. If you have a Bible, you can flip to page 1382, or wherever it is in your book. Go eat popcorn. Go eat popcorn. Okay, here we go. Yes. I won't read all of it, but I'll read some aspects of it. Feel free to read it as I talk, too. That's totally fine. Ephesians 5:21. And further, you will submit one another out of reverence for Christ. You wives will submit to your husbands. There's that word. You wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the body, the church. He gave his life to be her savior. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. And you husbands must love your wives with the same love that Christ showed the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism in God's word. I'm going to skip to 31. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery. But it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, here we go, bread and butter. Each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, so what's a radical marriage? Well, plain and simple, I believe when Jesus is involved in your marriage, the two main aspects are there's leading and following, there's loving and respecting. To lead and to follow, Christ making the husband the head of the family. Not to dictate, not to be authoritarian, but to serve and to take care of the family the way Christ takes care of his church. And if the husband is leading, that means that following is placed with the wife, the submission part. You know, loving and respecting. You know, I honestly believe that God asks husbands to unconditionally love his wife through thick and thin, through all the times that she's angry with you, through all the times she blames you for the dirty dishes, through all the times that she's just in a bad mood and she doesn't want to talk to you, for all the times that you are the reason why she's mad, you just unconditionally love. And that comes in different forms. And on the other side of that coin, which in all honesty, I believe nobody ever talks about, is that God asks the wives to unconditionally respect the husband. And now the world takes that and twists all of it, doesn't it? The world takes, well, why do men have to lead? Why are they in charge? Women can do just as well as men in leading. You know, I believe that there are a lot of good female leaders out there, politicians, bosses, teachers, in all honesty. And in marriage, it's not one's higher than the other. They are equal. They just have different roles to fulfill. You know, with loving and respecting, I think the world says that all you need is love, right? The Beatles? All you need is love. Do, 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 do. No. You need more than just love. Love will only get you halfway through marriage. You need respect. You need mutual love and mutual respect. You do. You each need love. You each need respect. But how often does the husband just get beat down? He just does not get the respect that he needs in the world. The world has confused respect with earning it. That's just not the case in the Bible. So that's what we're looking at. That's a radical marriage. It's not extreme. It's not doing something above and beyond. It's not taking your family and planting a church. It's not moving across the ocean with your wife and suddenly just starting up a ministry in India. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the fact that the biblical definition of marriage, the everyday life of marriage, is radical because it is different, because it goes against what the world preaches. You with me? Yeah. Are you with me? There we go. So here's what I want to do for the next minute or so. You know, Rob always says, here's what I'm going to do for the next couple of minutes. 20 minutes later, he starts. But what I want to do for the next couple of minutes is give you examples of what this leading and this following of this respecting and this loving looks like in my house. So we can put that slide up. And I think what needs to be emphasized, what's kind of what I've been saying throughout, but I haven't actually put it on the PowerPoint, is that first and foremost, you got to put Christ first. Doesn't matter if you're the husband, doesn't matter if you're the wife. You have to say in your own heart, I'm putting Jesus before my spouse. I'm putting Jesus before my kids. You got to say that, and you got to do that. And the way that looks like in our house with quiet times, I'm going to talk about quiet times specifically. You with me, Luke? I know, Luke. It's been hard. PowerPoint crashed on Luke. Poor Luke. So he's doing a great job. Look at that. It's quiet time. So here's how quiet times look in our house. I love Rob. Rob Gerber is amazing. And he wakes up early every day. And he has his quiet time in the morning. He wakes up. He's alert. He's ready to go. If you're in my house at 6 in the morning... You will not be greeted with a smile. You will be greeted with grumpiness, grouchiness, and grogginess. That just came off the top of my head, I swear. We are not morning people. We just aren't. And Joseph isn't either, trust me. He hates the morning. We dread waking up. It's the alarm goes off. You're like, why does this life exist? And you're just like, come on. So I wake up, I roll out of bed, I roll across the floor, I roll into the shower, I roll out of the shower, I roll into my couch, and I roll to work. And then when I get home from work at 5 o'clock, I'm ready to go. So mornings are very hard for us. We do not have our quiet times in the morning. We have our quiet times when we're at our best. And believe it or not, that's at night for us. It's after dinner. It's after we put Joseph down. And it's after we finish watching the second episode of Seinfeld. He's like, what's going on in his house? Is he rolling in the shower? No. So we read our Bibles at night, sometimes together, sometimes apart. She'll be in the bedroom, I'll be in the living room. She'll be reading her Bible, I'll be reading Ragamuffin. She'll be reading Torture for Christ, I'll be reading my NLT. But we do it at night because that's how we function. We don't do it every day, I will admit, but I'm not ashamed to say that. But our quiet times are at night because that's when we're at our best, and that's what we want to give God our best. So we put God first, especially at night. It's a great way to end the day for us, and it just calms our minds, gets us ready for bed, and we start the day the next day. So that's how we kind of put God first in our lives. We do it in many other ways. We pray before dinner. We just pray randomly. We'll pray for you guys by name. We'll pray, we'll worship together. We'll just do a lot of good stuff together. But you got to put Christ first and foremost. When you put Christ first, then the next thing comes into play, and that's leading and following. And a lot of examples came into my head about, well, how do I lead? How does Brianna follow? How do we do this? And one thing that we do every single day, I get done at 5 o'clock. It's about an 8-minute drive to my house. I walk in the door, maybe around 5:10. First thing out of my mouth, how are you, honey? How was your day? How's Joseph today? Is he behaving? Is it hard? Did he take a nap? Did he eat? Did you eat? Did you take a nap? Do you want me to take him? And then she says, yes, no, yes, yes, no, yes, no, yes, yes, no, no, take him. And so, so what I do when I walk in the door, I ask questions right away. How's your day, honey? What's going on? And she follows and she answers and she gives me details. She tells me all about her day. Joseph was really grumpy. Joseph's really fussy. He bit me while he was eating. She just goes on. She tells me. We talk. And we talk, and we talk. We talk about important things. We talk about Joseph, talk about the church, talk about ministries. We talk about stupid things, like what Trump does on a Saturday. We talk about, I don't know if I should have said that. We'll talk about anything and everything. But I open the door the best I can. I know it's kind of funny. Women are kind of known for being the talkers and stuff, but I find it really important for men to be able to walk in the door when they come home and say, let's have a conversation and let's talk and let's just sit down You know, I walk in the door, I sit down, I'm holding Joseph, and we're talking. We don't do anything. There have been times where I'll come home from work, and we will talk and talk and talk, and we won't eat dinner till 8 o'clock. I'm starving, but it's fine because we're talking. That's kind of one thing that goes on in our household. I want to make sure that I'm able to lead us in an open conversation, you know, decompress from the day and get ready to take on the night. And that's an everyday thing. And that's radical. That's radical. That's extreme. It's different. It may not sound like it. We're just sitting on our duff talking about the day. That's what we do. And I love every minute of it. So with love, loving and respecting them. This one can get fun because I think this is when you really begin to challenge yourself to unconditionally love your wife, to unconditionally respect your husband. And I kind of want to talk about some things that we do. So one way that I do my best, and I fail at times because I'm human, to unconditionally love Brianna is that I will take out the stupid trash every Monday night because garbage day is Tuesday. I hate taking out the trash. It's so annoying. Here's why it's annoying. I go to work all day. I come home. We quickly eat dinner. We drive to small group. We have small group. We have a good time. We come home, and I'm tired. I'm exhausted from the day, and Brianna says, honey, we got to take out the trash. I'm like, oh, that's right. And it smells like dirty diapers. But I say, you know what, honey? I'm going to do it. I'm not going to ask you to do it. I'm not going to force you to do it. I'm just going to swallow my pride, and I'm going to change that garbage. I'm going to throw it away, and I'll take it to the curb because I love you, and I'm going to do it. No questions asked. You know, it's just doing the simple things to unconditionally love your wife. She hates it when I put a dirty dish in the sink and I don't rinse the thing off. We were just talking about this before we got here. And so I've been trying to really try and remember, it's so simple, to just put my dish in the sink, turn the water on, and just rinse it off so it's easier to clean when it's time to clean it. So simple, yet so valuable. One more thing I can think of, I was thinking about on the drive up here to church is, so I went to the bathroom today. I did my business. And I used the last of the toilet paper. And Brianna, God bless her heart, never changes the role when she's used the last of it. And I stand firm on that statement. She doesn't change it, and I don't get mad at her. And I don't get even. If I use the last of it, I don't say, well, tough luck, honey, and wash my hands and leave. No, I don't. I say, this happened today, actually. I got home from work, the toilet paper roll. I used the last of it, and I looked at it, and I said to myself, don't repay evil for evil. So, so I changed the thing. And I walked out of the bathroom, and Brianna doesn't know that I did that until I just said it. Because I don't hold it against her. It's just a simple little thing. Unconditional love. Brianna, whenever she uses the last of the toilet paper roll, I'm always the one who's changing it. I walk in there and I'm just like, oh, here we go again. But when I'm the last one to use it, I don't hold it over her head. I don't brag about it. I don't say, honey. I just change it. And I let it go. I let it go. And that's how, those are just some examples of how I do my best to unconditionally love my wife. So simple, so monotonous, but the heart behind it is radical. And the heart behind it is extreme. Because Christ is telling me, change the toilet paper roll, Matt. Okay. So now let's talk about respecting. How does Brianna unconditionally respect me? I don't know. Moving on. So, I'm kidding. She does, and she does a great job of it. One example that I can think of that really excites me, actually, is she will never make a decision, like a bigger decision, without actually asking for my input. Let me give an example of that. A couple of weeks ago, Brianna's mom, my mother-in-law, she doesn't work, so she has a lot of free time, and she's a grandma, and she wants to see a lot of Joseph. She texted Brianna, or maybe she talked to you over the phone, sweetie, I don't know, and she said, "Hey, can I come up this week?" And just crash at your place, maybe, or I can get a hotel room. I just really want to see Joseph. Can I come up this week, next week, maybe in a month or something? And Brianna could have easily have said, "Oh, sure, why not? You know, the woman who's raised me my whole life, she's the grandmother of my son. She's taking care of me through all these things, and she has a lot of free time and nothing better to do. Sure, just come up, Mom, it's fine." She doesn't do that. She waited for me to come home from work. She waited for me to decompress from the day. And she waited for me to listen. And she said, "Hey, Matt, my mom wants to come up for a week. What do you think about that?" "Oh, what do I think about that, huh? Yeah." And it warmed my heart. Because Brianna didn't make a decision that she could have easily made without me. She really could have. Her mom has all the free time. She could just come up any day, any time. And Brianna could have said, "Yeah, come up right now. It's totally fine." And Brianna would love that. And her mom would love that. But she waited. And she said, "I'm going to talk to Matt first." Well, we went back and forth. I was like, "Not this week, honey. Not next week. She just came up last week. How about in a couple of weeks?" We got back to her, and she agreed. But Brianna waited for my input. And she waited for me to make the decision. And, you know, like you talk about warming your heart, like with actions of love and stuff like that. Let me tell you something, ladies. You want to warm your man's heart? Just show him some kind of respect. It will warm him in ways you can't even explain. Now, women need respect too, right? Amen? Right? And men need love. So those are just some examples that go on in our house. And I'm sure there's probably examples that you can think of in your house that talk about unconditional love and unconditional respect and leading and following. And you're probably thinking of ways that you can do it better. And please keep in mind that the examples that I give are not blueprints. They are, in of themselves, examples. Because I guarantee you, if you try to live the life of the marriage that Brianna and I live, you probably will not like it and you will struggle. The same way, if I tried to live your marriage, I would probably struggle big time. Because God has made every marriage unique. Everybody's different in their own marriage. Now, we read Ephesians 5, and we can understand that every marriage has a framework. But the painting itself, the material used to color it, the colors of it, the way it's made, is different for everybody. Some of us have a black and white sketch. Others are like a Monet, colorful. But we all have the same framework. Lead, follow, love, respect. Christ first. It's the same framework, but the actual painting of everybody's marriage is different. And that's a good thing. It's a great thing. So again, I hope you just take the examples that I gave and just keep them as examples. Don't try to think, "Oh, I'm going to change the toilet paper roll tonight, Matt." Don't worry about that. It's okay. I don't know how much time I have left, but I'm just going to go on to my next point. It's actually my last point here. What happens with a radical marriage? So you're doing this monotony. You're doing the everyday, day-to-day things. You're changing the garbage. You're changing the toilet paper roll. You're talking to each other every night. You're keeping up. You're asking questions. You're doing all the little everyday things. What's the point? Is it just to have a happy wife, happy life? Is it something deeper than that? Thus, to the table. Many people were asking questions. What's going on with this table? Why is there water up here? What's with the cups? What's with the pitcher? What's going on? I will explain. How many of you are a kinesthetic learner? That means you like visual examples. How many of you are a visual learner, a kinesthetic learner? Yeah, that's right, all of you. You all are, because you are tonight. So, here we have husband, wife. They're the purple cups. Now, if we remember, Jesus says that the man shall leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. The two become one. We read that in Ephesians 5. The two become one. It's a great mystery. We can't really understand it. That's implying that when you take a husband and a wife, you put them together, you're doubling the person. Thus, marriage is bigger than yourself. Twice as big. Now, oftentimes, what I see in the world is that they'll say, oh, yeah, Matt, marriage is great. We're going to split everything right down the middle. Half the chores, half the responsibilities. We're going to keep our bank accounts separate. We're going to do everything in half. Okay. What happens when you only pour half of yourself into your marriage? Well, separate bank accounts. Maybe you drive different cars at different times. You know, maybe you think, he doesn't really know what I did during the day. I can keep to myself. You know, when you only pour half yourself into a marriage, guess what? Your marriage is only half full. I don't know if you can see that. Your marriage is only half full. But what if you do this radical marriage? What if you pour everything you got into your marriage? And you don't say, I'm not going to give 50%. I'm going to give 100%. I will unconditionally love my wife. I will take out the trash. I will mow the lawn. I will tell her she's beautiful when she's wearing pajamas and no makeup. I will just love her unconditionally. And the wife looks at the husband and says, and I will respect you unconditionally. I will follow your leadership. I will do what God is leading you to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a full marriage. But we have an empty couple. The marriage is full, but the husband and the wife, they're empty. No more spirit. This is why we put Christ first. Enter God. This is not God. This is an example of God. It's a pitcher of water. You know, you have your quiet time, you pray, you worship, and God pours back into you. He fills you with the Spirit. Fills you, fills your spouse, and together you're rejuvenated and you're excited again. But your marriage is already full. So what do? You keep pouring into your full marriage. You keep loving each other. You keep doing that. You keep taking out the trash. You keep washing your plate. You keep doing the monotony. You keep asking your husband questions. You keep letting him follow or lead. You keep letting the Spirit guide your family. Your marriage is overflowing. Water's everywhere. It's in the pan. It's not really everywhere. So now what? Well, now that you're overflowing with the Spirit, you go to small group. You lead a ministry at church. You have a neighbor you evangelize to. Your family and friends see the godliness in you. You know, your kids will see Christ in your marriage. And people will begin to question, how do I get to have Jesus in my life? And God comes back and he says, let's do that again. And you just pour unconditional love and you lead faithfully and you just keep going. And he says, now your wife. And she just respects you and she'll follow your lead wherever you take her, wherever you take your family. And as you continue to be filled by the Spirit and you continue to pour into your marriage, the Spirit overflows in your marriage naturally, and then these little cups will get filled with more and more water, or the Spirit, I mean. That's the point of all of this. I'll go back to the center. That's the point of all of this. The monotony, the everyday things, the simple everyday things is just a drop right into your marriage bucket. And God asks you to keep pouring into your marriage because he will refill you. This is what we're doing. You know, you want to know what the significance of just the everyday value of marriage, of work, of money, of managing everything, of having a daily rhythm? It's because the Spirit pours into you and then the Spirit pours out of you into everything else. And people will look at your life and say, you're different. In a good way, in a great way, in a holy way. How do I have that? This was God's original intention for marriage. To fill you and your spouse with the Spirit. to pour into your marriage and have it overflow with the Spirit naturally and bless the people around you. Your marriage is a picture of Christ. Your marriage is a picture of salvation. Your marriage can lead people to salvation. You may not know it, and you may not think it now, but I guarantee you, every single time you take out the garbage, you are one step closer to saving a soul. Every time you change the toilet paper roll, Brianna, you are one step closer to saving somebody's soul. It's the little things. It may not seem like that, and that's okay. You don't have to believe it. Well, I'm going to rephrase that. I want you to believe it, because if you do believe it, then you'll do it. Okay, those of you who are single, you still with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I want that
That's it. That's the everyday value menu. The little things, the little drops into your marriage bucket, you overflow, you pour into other people. All right, the Spirit's telling me we're done. Jesus, God above, you are holy, you are miraculous. You know everybody's marriage, and you know the plans you have for every soul, single or married, whatever life stage, you have a plan. And you have a reason for everything that happens. And I just pray that as we go further into this series, God, we would remember that just our every day-to-day things, just the simple things, God, taking out the trash, respecting your husband, letting him lead, loving your wife, telling her she's beautiful, just the simple things, God, will fill our marriages, and it will overflow into the people around us, God. And I just pray that though we may not see the immediate effect, when we get to heaven, we'll see everything laid out. And in somehow, some way, I believe I'm going to see me taking the garbage out on a Monday night, and somehow that leads to somebody getting saved. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know why. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.